All right. Well, this morning, church, we're in the 23rd Psalm. I got two more weeks of this series in the Psalms that I'm going to be wrapping this up. And then in 3 weeks, we have Pastor John Sprecher is going to be here. If you haven't seen Pastor John before, he is one of our external elders from the Fellowship of Christian Assemblies. So he's going to be here that weekend to minister to us, and then he'll be in our elder meeting that day. So he's just a great encouragement to the church. He's for us. He is with us, and just a great resource for us to have as well. So today in the 23rd Psalm, how many of you know that we are sheep, right? Well, you're either a sheep, you're either sheep or goats, and you don't want to be goats, right? Goats are kind of dirty and kind of yucky, kind of nasty. But we are sheep as people of God. And so as we read the 23rd Psalm, I want you to think about this psalm from that aspect, from the aspect of I am a sheep. And I'll tell you, as David wrote this, David was a shepherd, but David is writing this as a sheep. And so he says, 23rd Psalm, starting in verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. It's a good psalm, a great psalm. Many of you guys probably could recite that psalm, or at least a good portion of it, but this is a psalm, again, of David, and David we think of as a king, a mighty king. We think of David as the one who hurled the stone at Goliath and took out the giant, but we got to remember that first David was a shepherd, right? He was a shepherd, and he was a good shepherd. He was a shepherd who took his father's flocks from childhood, and he writes this psalm from a place of experience. You guys know that there's a little more weight in somebody that can tell you something from experience versus somebody who just tells you some good ideas that they have, right? You know, if they've experienced it, if they've been in those shoes, you're like, okay, you, I will listen to. It's part of why testimony is so important, because when we testify of what God has done in our lives, that person's going to be a lot more open to receiving some kind of advice or instruction from you, having gone through it and overcome it, than he would from somebody else who just thinks they know better. And they may know better, but just telling you, when somebody's experienced, we tend to receive better. So David knows this relationship, right? He knows what kind of a relationship that the shepherd would have with the sheep. He shows us this relationship with God, the shepherd of our soul. He starts out with just this great statement that the Lord is my shepherd. What a great reminder that the Lord is my shepherd. I read this story about a Sunday school teacher. She asked all of her students, right, every kid in her class, to remember the 23rd Psalm. We're going to learn it. We're going to study it. We're going to recite it before the church. Okay, so every kid, they're all excited except for one, right? Little Bobby. Bobby's not real excited about learning this psalm. He's not real excited about memorizing it because he's a little bit shy. He has trouble memorizing things. And so the day comes. It's Sunday morning. They line up before the church. They're getting ready to recite it. And you know, if you've ever been in those shoes before, you try to figure out what side of the line are they going to start on, so I can go to the other side and be last. And so Bobby does that. He figures out which way is last. He's like, I'm going to go to the end of the line. And one by one, these kids just start reciting the 23rd Psalm. And they're doing it with joy, right? They're excited because they did it. And you know, if you're not first, if you don't know it, I mean, you may know it by the end because you've heard it so many times. So These kids are going along, and it gets down to Bobby's turn. And Bobby, again, he's a little bit scared, a little bit shy, and he just finally just boldly says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And there's a pretty long pause, and it's becoming clear to the parents that Bobby doesn't remember the rest of the psalm. And as there's silence in the room, Bobby just finally says, "And that's all I need to know." And everybody applauds, and it's great, and it's this reminder, church, that if that's all you know, is that the Lord is your shepherd, then that's a pretty good place to be. That's a pretty good thing to know. So is the Lord your shepherd? It's a serious question that we've got to ask. Is he my shepherd? Is he the one that is leading me to the places that I'm going? The psalmist says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul." So if Jesus is my shepherd, right? And if the shepherd takes care of his sheep and the shepherd provides for us what we need, then I shall not want. I don't know about you, but as I read this, especially as I was younger and I would hear that, I didn't like that part. Like, because I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things that I want. And I thought, well, that's not really fair. Like, just because Jesus is my shepherd, like, why can't I still want stuff? Why can't I still want things, or at least even want something from him? You know what I mean? Like, I could limit myself to wanting good things, but here's the thing. It doesn't actually mean that you don't have wants in your life. It doesn't necessarily mean that wanting something is wrong. What that actually means is that you don't lack anything that you need. It means that if the Lord is your shepherd, you don't lack anything that you are in need of in your walk with him. Matthew 6, verse 31 tells us, "Therefore, don't worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear?' For after all these things are what the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." The whole point there is follow Jesus first. Make that your priority, because the enemy will get us focused on any lack in our lives, anything in our lives that's not the way that we want it to be or that we even might kind of need it to be. And if he can get our focus and our attention off of Jesus and onto what our needs or our wants are, then we tend to lose track of our shepherd. We tend to lose the trail that our shepherd is trying to lead us on. It says that Jesus will take care of his sheep. He makes you lie down in green pastures. I don't know about you, but like, I'm a little iffy on that. There's times where I like to lay in the grass. There's times where I don't like to lay in the grass. And I'm thinking, I don't know that I want to be forced to lie down in the green pasture, but I suppose if my shepherd has that for me, it must be good. He leads me beside the still waters. And if you think about this, if you can kind of get the picture in your mind that a shepherd would lead the sheep, right? He'd lead them along the path, and he would lead them along the path to find green pasture. Why is that? It's a place of feeding, for one, but also it is a place for rest. And when you follow the good shepherd, it's like we get tired, we get worn out. Listen, there's some of you, you work hard, and that's a good character trait to be a hard worker. Some of you are busy, and sometimes it's okay to be busy. But listen, we've got to heed the following the voice of the Spirit when he says it's time to lie down, right? It's time to take a break, to take some rest, see this nice full green grass out here, this inviting area that's restful. Take a break, right? Lie down. Take it easy. I visited somebody in the hospital a while back. This has been probably, I don't know, 5 or 6 months ago. And when I went to visit him, he said, "You know what?" He's like, "I really believe this was God telling me it's time to take a break." He had pushed himself and pushed himself and was so busy and so overwhelmed with all the things that he was doing that, guess what? It came to a point where his body couldn't keep up anymore with what was going on, and he got sick in his physical body because he needed rest. And that was his words. I didn't tell him that. He's like, I really feel like it was God saying, if you're not willing to take a break, then I'm going to make you lie down, right? I'm going to make you take a break over here. And he got refreshed and restored from that. It wasn't life-threatening or anything. Don't get me wrong here. But it says that God will make you lie down in green pastures. It will come to a point where he knows what's good for you and he'll make you take a break. But it says that he'll lead you beside still water. This is that place of refreshing. This still water, that's what sheep drink, right? They don't drink from the running water. They drink from the still water. If they've been tired, they don't want to work for a drink. I don't know if you've ever tried to like get in a fast-moving current and, you know, I mean, sometimes you're just lucky to stay afloat. They like the still water. And so God leads them there for a place of refreshing. So Jesus uses this time here, this rest, this refreshing, to restore your soul. And some of you might think, I don't really think I need my soul restored. I just need, I need this provision in my life and I need that thing in my life. No, he says that sometimes he brings you to a place of rest and refreshing because he wants to restore your soul. This means that he brings you to this place where your mind, will, and emotions come back to the place where they need to be. Where do they need to be? At peace and rested in Christ Jesus. That's where your soul needs to be, at peace and rest in Christ Jesus. It says that he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Last week we talked a little bit about the character of God and about how he's righteous. That means he's right in all things that he does, but it also means that he loves what is right. Do you realize that he leads us down this path of righteousness? He leads us there. That means that we're not alone down that path. He doesn't say, listen, you got to live perfect, righteous, and holy. See you later. He says what? Follow me. Follow me and I will show you the way to righteousness. I will show you the way to live. He leads us. He goes before you just like he came before us and he came and conquered. Amen? You ever been with some friends or somebody and they're trying to get you to do something a little bit scary, a little bit risky, a little bit like, I'm not so sure that that's really a good idea because it looks a little bit dangerous. What do you usually want? You'd be like, you know what? You try it first, right? You try it first, and if you show me that it can be done, I might consider it, right? I might think about doing it. I might be more likely to follow if you show me that it can be done. Listen, Jesus leads you down the path of righteousness, and the psalm says that he does it for his name's sake, right? He came and led and left an example for us, and he does it for his name's sake because it's about his reputation. Jesus leads you down the path because it's him being true to his character, because he said he would do it. He said, follow me. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So when he is faithful to what he says, listen, he does it for his own namesake because he's not a liar, amen? And he's true to what he says. Listen, this should be a chain-breaking experience for some of you. It's not dependent on you. It's not dependent on what you do or don't do. It's dependent on what he said, that he will lead you. The only thing you got to do is say, okay, I will follow. But there's times in our lives where we think, man, God must just be leaving me alone to just figure things out on my own. He's punishing me. He's mad at me. No, listen, he loves you and he's trying to lead you. I guarantee you he's trying to lead you somewhere. It's maybe the fact is that you've lost sight of where he's going and that you've got to be redirected and back on track. Listen, he won't leave you. He won't abandon you. He never will. Somebody's got to grab a hold of this. He does it for his name's sake, to be true to who he is and what he said, not because of what you do or don't do. Now, if you understand this here, you need to grasp this, that Jesus is faithful. He is faithful. Amen? Because if you grab the fact that he's faithful, these first three verses of the Psalm 23, then it changes everything about the fourth verse. This fourth verse is where we get hung up on. A lot of times this is what we share it at funeral services, and that is a good place for it, but it's about living life right here and right now too, because it changes everything about the valley. Verse 4 says, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Though I walk through the valley. You know, that beginning part of this psalm sounds great. That God just, you know, he leads you to this place of laying down and getting a drink. And I don't know about you, but that's kind of the lifestyle that I prefer, is laying down and getting drinks. Like, I'm just kind of, I like to relax. I like rest. But he leads you down this path, right? Lay down, get a drink, get rested, get refreshed, and then follow me down this path of righteousness. It sounds like such a great, welcoming, warming, inviting experience, doesn't it? This sounds like what we all sign up for when we give our life to Jesus, and then for some reason we just cut it off at verse 4, and it's like, you know what? I'll learn about that later, right? I'm just taking the easy road, taking the fun time. But then you get to verse 4, and there's going to be a point at some time in your life you've got to face verse 4. You've got to face this time when David starts talking about walking through the valley. It's going to come. You're going to have to go. You're going to have to face it. Now remember, David, as a shepherd, is speaking from experience. And I think about this verse, and I'm like, why? Like, why do you have to lead those sheep down the difficult path? Like, just take them to an easy, restful place. Like, just find a shortcut. Find a path that gets to a nice, restful area without going through the valley. But here's the thing is, when we think of green pastures, and I've shared this before a few years ago, when you think of green pastures around here, that's not what they look like in the Middle East. A green pasture over there is like a little sprout of green over here, a little sprout of green over there, a little sprout. It's not covered like this carpet, right? It's not just, you know, they run out. They run out of green at some point, and the sheep have to be taken somewhere else. So they would take them on a long journey to the mountains at least once a year. And during this time, usually in the spring, they would graze in the fields near their home, and as soon as the mountains that were covered with snow would begin to melt, they would start their journey up into the mountains to seek new fields. Okay, so they've eaten up what they have. They're ready to go and find something new, something fresh, and they take the tough route through the valleys because, listen, you can't just go through the scorching heat and take the easy path. They had to go through the valleys because in the summer heat, the valleys provided some shade. The valleys provided some protection that you don't have if you take the mountainous, rugged path. The valley is the place that's well watered. This means that as the shepherd leads his sheep through the valley, the path may not be that great, but there are things there, there's provisions in the valley that are necessary for you to make it to the mountaintop. Okay, so it's a harder path. It's not easy, but it's a necessary path to get to where you're going. Can I tell you, there are difficulties in the valleys, right? Just like there are difficulties in our lives. Anybody ever faced some difficulties in life, right? I mean, if you haven't, then it's probably coming. And you're probably lying, because most of you guys are old enough that I know you faced some difficulties in life. There's difficulties in life. There's days that we feel like we're in this valley where the sun just doesn't shine very bright, right? You guys know what I'm talking about? There's times where things look gloomy. There's times where it looks like, man, this is rough in the valley. I'd do anything to get out of here and get to that mountaintop experience. But listen, can I tell you that you can't avoid the valleys? Like, you can't avoid them. They're inevitable. Sometimes they're the only way to get to the mountaintop that you're trying to get to. And we often wonder why we're in the valley. Anybody ever ask that question? Why am I in this valley? Like, I kind of see how I got here, but why? Like, why am I here? What am I doing here? And I think instead of asking why am I here, we need to be trusting that God is leading us through it. We might say like, hey, God, where are we going? Like, can you give me some insight as to where we're going? But I'm following you. There's problems in life. There's persecution in life. There's difficult days. There's difficult seasons we're all going to face. Listen, but it says that he is with you. Say, he's with me. This is important that we grasp this, that he's with me, because David reminds us of this certainty that we will all walk through the valley. So the question is, how am I going to respond to the valley? David's response was, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, the enemy likes to make us think that we're alone in the valley. The enemy likes to make us think that we're stuck in the valley and there's no way out and we're going to be here forever by ourselves. Listen, there's a reason why that's the enemy's tactic, because if the enemy can make you feel like you are alone and that there's no way out, then you're hopeless. If you feel like I'm by myself, nobody's for me, nobody's with me, and I'm never going to get out of this, it brings you to a place of hopelessness. We focus on the fact that we're in the valley. But David writes here that though I walk through the valley, see, there are keys here to walking through the valley instead of getting stuck in the valley. Does anybody ever like to ride roller coasters? I love roller coasters. Nobody in my family, at least when my kids were younger, we didn't really ride a lot of roller coasters. Christy doesn't love them. I love them. I could ride roller coasters all day long, but I've been on one or two where I'm kind of like, oh boy, what did I get myself into? You get up to the, like, click, 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 click. They make those go that slow on purpose, I'm pretty sure. And click, 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 and it's like, how, oh my gosh, this does not look this high from down there. And you start to get that little wooziness in your stomach, and you're like, you kind of check that bar like it's going to matter now. It's too late. If it ain't attached now, it's over, right? But you give it a little tug, and you're like, oh, okay. Whew. The one with the shoulder straps, you kind of push up on it. You're like, okay, yeah, I'm secure. I'm good. But before you check that, you kind of think, okay, I don't think that I can handle this, right? I don't think that I'm ready for this. I don't even really know why I got on here. I should have known better. I heard the screams. I heard of other people's experience. I just want it to be over with. I've been that way on a roller coaster before. I'm just ready for it to be done, ready for it to be over with. But once you check that bar and check that shoulder strap, once you know for certain that you are secure, once you know that you are safe, once you know that you're protected, once you know that you're not gonna fall out, listen, it's a lot easier to get through the rest of the ride. I don't know about you, but I've been in those ones where that bar has just enough give where you're like, I wish it was tighter. It shouldn't do that. But it's like, but once you know that it's secure, listen, you can get through the rest of the ride. Because let's just face it, like I said, at this point, you're already on it. What other choice do you have? And see, church, this is the way we get when we're in the valley sometimes. We're thinking, man, I got to figure out a way to get out of here. It's like being on the top of a roller coaster. It's too late, right? You're in it. You're not just going to magically get out of it, so you might as well find your safety, your security in the Spirit of God, in the presence of God, and know that he is with you and that you will get through it. You will make it to the end of the ride. You will get through that valley because the Spirit of the living God is with you. Amen? He's with you. That means you're secure, you're safe, you're protected. You don't have to fear. But in the midst of fearful times, instead, you can declare your victory in Jesus. You can declare your victory in Jesus. David says, I will walk, right? I walk through the valley. I don't know about you, but when I'm involved in some situation I don't want to be in, I try to get out pretty quick, right? I'm going to be running, jogging, something through that valley. He says, I walk through the valley. You want to know why he walks through the valley? Because he has that peace and that refreshing in the Lord. He has that security in the Lord that he knows, I'm in it, but I'm going to get through it. The Spirit of God is with me. I will get through. See, he has this perspective in the valley. This perspective that I will walk through it, because sometimes you have to get through the valley to get to new pastures. He knows this. He knows that the Lord is leading him. And when we think about the fact that God leads us, he finds this great comfort in focusing on the shepherd. I don't know if you ever pick up on details in the scriptures where somebody like David will talk about what the Lord looks like in a certain setting, but he knows what God is holding in his hands. You know how he knows that? Because his focus is on the Lord. He's not looking around for something that's going to attack him or something that's going to derail, him following Jesus. He's looking at the Lord, and it says that he sees that he has two things. He has this rod and this staff, because that's what a good shepherd would have. And when you think of a rod and staff, think of protection and direction. This rod, some of you guys are afraid of the Lord having the rod, because you're like, I know what that means. I'm getting ready to get a whooping, right? I'm getting ready to get a beating. Some of you need it, all right? I'm just going to say. It's from my perspective. No, we all probably need it, but here's the deal. The shepherd doesn't have the rod to beat the sheep. That's not the purpose of the rod. The rod is to beat off the attacks of the enemy that are trying to harm the sheep. Stop believing that God is punishing you in the valley and that he's just giving you another whooping and another beating and another knock over the head, and you're not going to get out of this valley until you shape up. Stop believing that. He doesn't have the rod for you. He has the rod to fight off the enemy who's trying to attack you and grab a hold of you and pull you back. He is for you. But what does this tell us? This also tells us that there will be attacks in the valley. It tells us that there will be things that happen in the valley that make your experience maybe a little bit worse. There will be things that happen where you're like, are you kidding me? Why me? Right? Why again? And what we've got to do is get our focus back on the Lord and say, Lord, where are you leading me? I need that peace. I need that refreshing. I need that security that only comes in you. Right? We got this phrase that we say, when it rains, it pours, right? You think about the fact that when it rains, it pours. If you apply that to your spiritual life, hello, God's your umbrella. Get under the protection of the Lord. Get under his protection. He is there for you. He is there with you. He has this rod to protect you. Then he has this staff, right? This staff is for direction. And if you think about the fact that if I'm following Jesus, like he's my direction, right? I don't need him to show me with the staff where to go because he's leading me. I'm following him. The staff's more for like redirection. And I did an example of this with my nephew whenever we had VBS. I don't know if you ever had like, the little curved staff before, but it fits just right around somebody's neck, right? And I kind of grabbed him and pulled him toward me, and Christy told me to stop it, but it was fun. And I was like, get over here, you know? But I mean, that's really what they were for. It was kind of redirection. It's like as he looks back and you're just kind of dumbfoundedly like wandering off to the side, he can grab that thing, hook it around your neck. It's not to be violent or mean or punish you. It's like, hey, get over here, right? Back over here, redirect your path, get to where you need to go, to where I'm trying to lead you. And so church, this is what Jesus has for you in the valley. He has these resources for you, this rod to protect you, but he has this staff to also help to redirect you. This should bring you comfort in the valley, knowing that he's leading you through it. Listen, that means you will get out. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, we need to stop looking for the light at the end of the tunnel, and we need to just start looking for the shepherd. Where is the shepherd going? That's where I want to go. I'll tell you what, if Jesus is leading me over there and there's a light over there, I'm not following that. I'm following Jesus. Let me go where he's leading me because I know that this is what is good for me, what is right for me. Listen, he's not watching you from a distance. We get this picture that we have this mysterious God who's up in the clouds, that if we could just go above the clouds and above space, he's just like hanging out up there somewhere, just watching us in his little like globe, right? And just kind of checking us out and seeing what we're doing. Listen, he's not just watching over you. He is with you. Hallelujah. He's with you. He's actively involved in your journey. You're nowhere in your life where God doesn't know that you're there, because if you belong to him, then he is there with you, right? He is there with you to lead you through. Jesus said that he is the good shepherd, right? If you have given your life to Jesus, if you know him as Lord and Savior, then you are his sheep. That means you belong to him. We sang that earlier. I belong to you. Right? The enemy can't take away anything from me. I belong to you. He's a good shepherd. And he told us in John chapter 10, verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He gives his life for the sheep. You know, David, as he writes this psalm, David was a good shepherd. He wasn't the good shepherd, but he was a good shepherd. He was kind of an example of what was to come in Christ. And if you know anything about his experience, if you know anything about David's story, there were times where David was tending to his father's sheep and he had to fight off a lion and fight off a bear, right? I don't know about you guys, but I would find a different occupation. I'd be like, Dad, I'm not going out there again. After one or the other, whichever one was first, see you, Dad, send one of the other brothers. Like, I'll go to the front lines of the battle, but I ain't going back out there. But David fights off a lion and a bear, and he does this as a boy. He does this as a young boy. It's before he takes out Goliath. And if you don't have a picture of this yet, you imagine, you know, a guy with a rod, with a long walking stick. You know, it's probably a little taller than he was. And imagine that as a lion or a bear tries to attack the sheep, and you got this boy with a stick. I'm telling you, it does not look favorable for the boy. It does not look favorable for the sheep, but he was willing to give his life for the sheep. That boy was willing to give his life for the sheep. He said, I got one job. My dad sent me out here to protect these sheep, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to make that happen. And by the power and the grace of God, I believe supernatural ability that God had given him, he was able to fight off a bear and a lion. Jesus says a good shepherd will lay down his life for his sheep. Can I tell you that Jesus fought off a greater enemy than a lion or a bear? He fought off an enemy that was greater than a lion or a bear. He literally gave his life to protect us and to save us from the grasp of Satan. He literally gave his life. But who do we follow, right? Do we know the good shepherd? And do we follow the good shepherd? There's a man giving a speech at a fundraiser, and it was a famous person, and he apparently knew a lot of poems, a lot of famous poems, and he's like, anybody throw one at me, like, and you know, I'll recite it. And so an old pastor was sitting there, and the pastor said, yeah, I've got one for you. How about you repeat the 23rd Psalm? And then the man's like, okay, I will do that as long as you do it after me. And so the pastor agreed to the terms. He said, you know what, I'll do that. And so this actress surprisingly repeated the 23rd Psalm. He knew it. He got up there. He said it. It went well. He got a standing ovation to the 23rd Psalm. And a few minutes pass by, and the old pastor stands up and takes his turn to speak and recite the 23rd Psalm. And when he gets done, not a single person in the place clapped, applauded, or anything. But there also wasn't a dry eye in the entire auditorium. And so the speaker comes back up, and he's like, well, I'm supposed to give some closing remarks. And he said, The only thing that comes to my mind is there's a difference between his version of the 23rd Psalm and my version. For me, it was that I knew the 23rd Psalm, and for him, it's that he knew the Good Shepherd. And so that was the difference. It's like it's not just about knowing what the Scripture says, but it's also knowing the God of the Scripture. It's about it being something more than just something we recite at a funeral or when we're going through hard times, but that it's something that we live and breathe and that our spirit believes and speaks out in our lives, is that do we know the Good Shepherd? Do we truly know him? Listen, do we truly trust him that he is leading us to where we need to go? Because listen, you will experience times in the valley, but he will lead you through. And when you find that new pasture, listen, I want to tell you that blessing is on the other side. That's how the psalm concludes. Verse 5 says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." See, David prophesied. He spoke. He believed that he would get through the valley, even though I walk through the valley, right? "I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." I believe that. I receive that. I know that I'll get through it, and I know that on the other side of that, I know that I got some things waiting for me. God, I know that what you have for me on the other side is greater than what I'm experiencing as I go through it. Paul left us with some words like that, right? That the glory that awaits us is so much greater than this momentary trouble that we go through right now. That surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Church, that's knowing the Good Shepherd. That's not just knowing the psalm, that's knowing the shepherd. Would you stand with me in this place? Father, this morning we thank you for the 23rd Psalm. God, we thank you for the truth that is in it. We thank you for the shepherd who wrote it, the shepherd who knew the Good Shepherd. We thank you, Jesus, that you came, that you told us that a good shepherd would lay down his life for the sheep, not just for his sheep, for the sheep, for all who would come, not for a select group of people, but all who would choose to receive you. This morning as we open up the altars, Lord, I just ask that if anybody has not fully received you, if they have this concept of God, but they've never made you the Lord of their life, today, Jesus, that would be the day for their lives, that they would come down, that they would receive you for who you are. God, I pray for those who are in the valley right now. Lord, that you would help them to see. Lord, help them to see that they will get through it, that you are their security. Help them to receive that even right now, Lord, that they are not alone in the valley, that you are with them. Lord, that they would receive right now that not only are you with them, but you are leading them through. You're their security. You're their provision. You are their source of rest and refreshment. Lord, that you'll lead them through that valley back to that place of rest, of still waters, but they can have the peace even right now in the valley, the peace of knowing that they're following the Good Shepherd who doesn't just know the way out. Lord, you know the way through, that you help to sustain them while they're in it, while they're through it. It's not just about when they get out, but it's about right here, right now, right where they're at. Lord, would you bring that refreshing upon our souls this morning? Would you restore our soul to that place of right standing where our soul is in alignment with what you desire for our lives? Lord, would you reveal to people in this place that you are good, that you are truly good, that there is no darkness in you, none at all, that you are fully good, that you love them, that you care for them, that you have a plan for them, that you're leading them down that path of righteousness for your name's sake. God, because you said you would do it, that you would help us to believe this morning that you are faithful to your word. God, we love you and we praise you in this place. We ask, Holy Spirit, that your presence would continue to minister to our hearts right now as we enter back into worship. That we would find ourselves in that place where we're surrendered to you. Whereas we were singing earlier, that those walls would be broken down. Lord, we pray that you tear those down even right now. That we would be fully surrendered to you. Fully open to what you have for us today. Not my will, Lord, but your will be done. What do you have for me? Let us be open and willing to receive that today as we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.